from, you know, I think all over the world, but maybe they'll be gathered there. It's like when Elijah, like I said, they wanted to take him. They wanted to take him, right? And they sent 50, you know, these men, and he says, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and devour you. And then they sent another 50, and the same thing. Then the third group, they come and they on their hands and knees, begging and pleading with fear. And then Elijah said, okay, let's go. So it'll be with these prophets. You know, they come to hurt. They come to take us by force. They're going to die. They ask nicely. We will, when the time is right, we will go. We will go. There's something else I wanted to point out. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. As Zechariah said. You look at, in chapter 13, it says, the false prophet, he will cause fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He does great wonders, it says. And that's one of them, at least the one that is mentioned. So he's going to perform the same miracle that Elijah performed. Bring down fire, or it could be lightning, because lightning is often called that, but whatever, fire from heaven. I mean, that is a standard, you know, someone calling down fire out of the sky, either lightning at their command or even just regular old flames. That would be, you know, pretty much the cliche for showing that God is on your side and you have the power of God. The interesting thing, you know, you think the enemy is going to do fire from the sky. The two witnesses are going to breathe fire out of their mouths. And the spiritual distinction there is that the Spirit of God is in them. You know, the oil flows through them. And the fire comes out of them, because that is where God is. In the time of Elijah, the Spirit of God was on Elijah, but it was not in the way that in the New Testament covenant the Spirit of God is in us. Not in the same way. And so, when he called down fire, it came down on the sky. When the devil calls down fire, it'll be from the sky. Because even though God gives this Antichrist the power to call down fire, the fire does not come from within him. It comes from outside. And that signifies what his relationship to God is. God is external to him. God is apart from him. The two witnesses, though, it comes from within. But it's very easy for me to see how people who don't understand what that signifies would see the witnesses as being evil, this fire-breathing, plague-bringing. And the devil, of course, he's just trying to establish peace and trying to bring about, you know, a one-world happy place, establish his kingdom for 1,000 years, no doubt. And so, as you can imagine, they're doing these things, they're giving this testimony, they're telling the world that everything they're doing is wrong. So like when Jesus came and he told the Pharisees, hey, what you're doing is wrong. That's not the way it should be. Your traditions are against what God has said should be. And they hated him. Well, when the witnesses start speaking and say, hey, you know, your traditions which you follow are corrupt. The God you serve is a devil. That's not what they want to hear. Regardless of whether there's any value there. So let's read on and see what happens next. Verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Probably the most ironic words in the book of Revelation. Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So that's sort of still covering in the sixth trumpet. Still in the sixth, still in the penultimate moment. It is within the same hour that the whole thing ends. But of course, no man knows the day or the hour, the precise moment of Christ's return. And even then, it's still going to be kind of like a crazy sort of scary moment for the world. So what happens, right? They're slain and sold. Everyone in the world is looking at their dead bodies for 3 days. They don't want to put them in graves. Why? There's a lot of reasons, whether it be for just, hey, we like seeing them dead. We don't want to bury them out or give them any sort of burial. Let's just leave them out there in the streets. Maybe God will direct them to, and this is, remember, this is not necessarily just two individuals. This could be thousands of individuals. This could be a big pile of corpses. When the beast makes war against them and overcomes them and kills them. The idea of making war against them, what I mean, that sort of goes there right there to the heart of it isn't like they're executed like Christ, like, or just like one or two people. A war is made, they go to battle against them. They fight them physically and win. The beast wins that fight. He does not overcome them. We are not overcome of the devil and the spirit, but our bodies are overcome. They will slay us. And, so everyone's really just totally jacked about this. I mean, they're so happy. They're making merry, sending gifts to people, like it's a new Christmas, basically. I remember a friend of mine once suggested that it was on Christmas. I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Inaugurating a new holiday, whatever. But not really the point. These two prophets tormented them. They were tormented. Because as long as they prophesied, as long as they remained speaking and doing their miracles, and for one thing, it was plagues and stuff. And for two, nobody likes to see anybody stand against their position. If you have an unpopular opinion, you voice that opinion, people want you to shut up. Especially when it's something that just really gets under their skin. There's not a lot of tolerance in the world. People want you to stop talking. And they're going to really want these dudes to shut up. Us. These dudes. I always slip into it too, the idea of like two witnesses. I do think the Lord may send us out in pairs, like he did with his apostles, so that the face of the church at any given point may be two individuals. That's just an opinion. But I mean, I do know, the two candlesticks, that's pretty absolute. The church has a role in the end times. Every reason to want to live in those times, because you get to serve God in the most exciting possible way. I know most people want to perform miracles, but they want to do healings and stuff. But if you live in the end times, that's not what God is offering. If you want to do his miracles, then you're going to be doing plagues. You're going to be doing blood, fire.